This is Audible.
Intermittent fasting, lose weight, heal your body, and live a healthy life. Written by Amanda Walker. Narrated by Kimberly Austin. Introduction. Unless you've been in a coma for the past few decades, you're no doubt aware that there's a worrisome epidemic afflicting millions of people all over the globe. That epidemic is obesity, excessive weight that leads to physical and mental health problems that affect quality of life. The latest buzz is about belly fat, which is the term that has been coined to describe abdominal obesity. The common occurrence of this phenomenon is clearly evident to the most casual observer, on a bus or in the shopping mall. In fact, the words belly fat have become a sort of battle cry of health professionals and nutritionists who recognize the dangers lurking behind all that fat. Excessive weight in general, and belly fat in particular, have all sorts of negative effects on your body, your heart, and even your brain. Increased weight means an increased risk of developing heart problems, type 2 diabetes, inflammatory diseases, and cancer. Looking at the big picture, a larger waist circumference can lead to a shorter life. As much as we try to fool ourselves with lame excuses, the principal cause of this problem is pretty clear. We eat too much. But it's more than that. Many of the foods we eat are poor sources of nutrients. In our quest for foods that are convenient and tasty, we often forego the right kinds of foods that we need for a healthy life. We have become a society that tends to eat whatever we want, whenever we want, wherever we can get it. Then one day, something happens. We step on the scale, or we see our reflection in a mirror, or we can't get our jeans on, and we think, oh, choose your favorite expletive. It's time to do something. And the first thing that comes to mind is the D word, diet. But now there's another problem. In the late 1970s, the USDA recommended a low-fat diet, and that seems to be just about the point at which the rate of obesity began its statistical climb. In cutting down on fats, people began to consume more carbohydrates, which stimulate insulin levels. High insulin levels actually make people gain weight, rather than losing it. That was the opposite of what the USDA intended. When the recommended low-fat diets didn't produce the desired results, more diets began to come out of the woodwork. We went from the low-fat to low-carb to slow-carb, Atkins, South Beach, Zone, Mediterranean, all liquid, all vegetable, all fruit, all raw, and so on, and so on. Companies like Jenny Craig and Nutrisystem also jumped on the diet bandwagon, and SlimFast and AIDS developed products to help in the weight loss effort. The results were mixed. Many of these diets were successful with a lot of people, but many were not. That's the thing about dieting. What works for one person won't work for another. Finding a diet that's perfect for everybody has just not been accomplished at this point. That's why diet books continue to be hot items in bookstores and libraries everywhere. One refrain that seems to prevail among all the diets is the question, what can I eat today? With all the calorie counting, fat counting, carb counting, etc., we often find that our daily choices are limited. But what if there were some days where, instead of saying, what can I eat today, you could say, what will I eat today? It's not just wishful thinking that you would be able to eat whatever you liked on a diet. With intermittent fasting, it's a reality. That doesn't mean that you'll be wolfing down giant portions of ice cream and French fries at will. With intermittent fasting, there will still be some restrictions. The difference is that you will not be restricting what you eat, but when you eat. And not only will you lose weight, you'll also become healthier in the process. Part 1. What is intermittent fasting? What is intermittent fasting, and why is it good for you? By definition, intermittent fasting, or IF, means that a person has regularly scheduled periods of time where she eats a normal diet, alternating with periods of restricted eating. In other words, it's a pattern of skipping meals on a regular basis. Restricted eating could be anything from zero calories to a small quantity of food with a significantly minimized calorie total. For some people, it's a more effective way to lose weight than the other diet plans. At first, it's not easy. The hunger pains during the fasting periods are impossible to ignore, and there's a constant need to watch the clock. But after a brief period of adjustment, the hunger pains become insignificant, and the routine of intermittent fasting begins to fit right into the daily groove. Some people will balk at the idea of not being able to indulge in their 3 to 6 meals a day. But if you think about it, you're already fasting every time you sleep. That's why the first meal of the day is called breakfast. You're breaking the fast between the last meal of yesterday and the first meal of today. So how hard can it be to just fast a bit longer and wait a while for the first meal? Once your body gets adjusted to fasting on a regular timetable, your insulin and glucose levels will calm down, more on this later, and your brain won't be sending as many false alarms that you need to eat. The longer you maintain a regular fasting pattern, the easier it becomes. One problem with our eating habits is just that. They are based on habit. Breakfast at 7:30 a.m., lunch at noon on the dot, snacks at 10 and 3, and dinner at 6 with ice cream in front of the TV. And don't forget the requisite guacamole and chips while you watch football. All this, whether you're hungry or not. With intermittent fasting, you become more aware of your hunger levels. If there are certain times or circumstances where you eat because that's what you've always done, being on a fast means that you won't eat during those times, and eventually it will lead you to wonder why it was always such a big deal in the first place. With intermittent fasting, your attitude toward eating becomes more purposeful, and you become more focused on your eating patterns. Once your attention is centered more on when you will eat than what you can eat, you no longer have to be as concerned with trying to eat less. As long as you don't try to overcompensate by binging between fasts, your average calorie count will naturally decrease, and you'll lose weight. The idea of intermittent fasting as a weight loss or health improvement diet program is relatively new. For that reason, there has not been a lot of research done to verify all the anecdotal evidence from people who have tried it and are impressed with the results. According to some, the weight loss and loss of belly fat was remarkable. Not only that, but compared to eating a low-calorie diet with no fasting period, the weight loss is just as effective, and possibly even more effective. But there is less muscle loss. Is IF a good idea for everyone? Unfortunately, no. For people with certain health conditions, diabetes or malnutrition, for example, intermittent fasting could mean a serious risk to their health. And people with eating disorders would only aggravate their condition if they adopted the practice of intermittent fasting. Additionally, children, as well as women who are pregnant or breastfeeding, should not have nutritional restrictions. And before you make the decision whether intermittent fasting is for you, it's important to take into consideration any prescription meds that you take on a regular basis. If you happen to be on a medication that needs to be taken with food, fasting won't work for you. So the bottom line here is the same as with any type of diet. Do not proceed until you check all the facts and get the go-ahead from your healthcare provider. The right mindset is very important for anyone who wishes to succeed with an intermittent fasting lifestyle. If you have a casual attitude toward it, it won't work for you. You're going to have to commit yourself to spending time on meal planning and preparation. Your social life will also factor in because so much of our interpersonal lives include a good amount of eating and drinking with friends and family. And if you're the type of person who starts feeling obsessive about food at the first sign of hunger pangs, this style of eating will probably make you miserable and more than a little bit crazy. When you are constantly thinking about food, you often tend to overcompensate for fasting by taking the first opportunity and eating more calories than you normally would. If that's the case, intermittent fasting may turn out to be more harmful than beneficial. But for most people, there is some form of intermittent fasting that will fit in well with their needs and lifestyle, and that they can be comfortable with over a long period. Later in this book, we will be discussing the many different eating and fasting methods that fall under the category of intermittent fasting. A brief history of fasting. Before you protest that fasting is unnatural and unhealthy, stop and think about our very first ancestors, the hunter-gatherers. Their very way of life subjected them to periods of imposed fasting because there were plenty of times when there was very little to hunt or gather. They probably had ways of making their available food stretch out over a long period of time, but ultimately, they had to become accustomed to eating when there was food available and fasting when it was hard to find. It must have worked for them, somehow, because we're still here. Then, during the first agricultural revolution, humans developed some know-how so that they could have some control over the availability of food. They domesticated and raised animals for meat, eggs, and milk, and they cultivated land and planted crops so that they would have reliable sources of food. This transition to agriculture also created a new lifestyle. Since they no longer had to live a nomadic lifestyle to find food, our ancestors established settlements and stopped moving around. This gave them the opportunity to direct their focus to something besides their survival, and they began to think. That brings us to the early philosophers. Pythagoras, Plutarch, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, and other great thinkers and healers were all advocates of the practice of fasting. They believed in the power of fasting to clarify the mind and revitalize the body. Hippocrates, the father of medicine as a science, believed that fasting was an effective component of the healing process. He claimed, among other things, that when the patient is fed too richly, the disease is fed as well. Benjamin Franklin, a more modern thinker, claimed that the best of all medicines is resting and fasting. When you think about it, fasting when you're sick makes a lot of sense. We actually possess a sort of fasting instinct. Your pets are a good example. When an animal doesn't feel well, it won't eat. And you can probably relate to the idea yourself. Think about the last time you had a bad case of the flu, and the thought of eating anything was revolting. That's because your body needed to direct as many of its resources as possible to fighting the illness. And working on the digestive process after eating would take some of those resources away. So fasting is the body's natural prescription to help you get well. During the 20th century, a number of therapeutic fasting clinics and centers popped up in some countries. These clinics generally specialized in certain types of fasts, such as water fasts or juice fasts, with medical supervision. Limo therapy, which involves abstaining from food for a period of 1 to 1.5 days under medical supervision, became a popular method of therapeutic fasting at many of these clinics. Some of them even promoted their therapies as fasting holidays. As trends change, these clinics continue to come and go. Another modern trend in fasting has been cleansing fasts, which have become a popular way to detoxify the body. By abstaining from food and drinking only water, your system flushes out toxins that accumulate from food, pollution, and other contaminants that humans are constantly exposed to. Besides the water fast, there are a variety of other cleansing fasts that promote drinking juice, adding apple cider vinegar or lemon to the water, green smoothies, and more. Fasting also has a long history in religion. Most religions today observe periods of time when followers are encouraged or required to show their commitment, faith, and spirituality by refraining from the indulgence of eating. In the case of religious fasting, practitioners feel that fasting is a good thing for both body and spirit. It's believed that fasting is a type of sacrifice that indicates purification and devoutness. Many religions turn to fasting in times of mourning and as a demonstration of penance. Many Christians fast for 40 days during Lent because Christ fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. The Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, was also devoted to fasting. So Muslims are expected to observe the holy month of Ramadan by eating and drinking nothing at all between sunrise and sunset every day. If fasting would be risky for someone because of health or age issues, they are allowed to substitute generosity to the poor for fasting. Once the sun has set, however, fasting Muslims often overindulge to compensate for what they miss during their fast, so they don't acquire the health benefits. Followers of Buddhism are also faithful believers in fasting. When the Buddha was a young man seeking enlightenment, he went through a period of self-denial so severe that he limited himself to eating a single grain of rice per day. He was close to death when he realized that he would have to be alive to achieve enlightenment. And that realization motivated him to adopt a more balanced routine of self-discipline and self-indulgence. Today's Buddhists practice fasting to achieve self-control and greater spirituality. Many Buddhist monks do not eat any solid food after noon every day, and some lay people do the same on days of the full moon. The practice of yoga also recommends fasting for cleansing the body, spiritual renewal, and basic practicality. Avoiding food before a yoga practice ensures that the intestines will be clear, allowing for better access to certain postures. In addition, the digestion process competes with other body systems and organs for blood, which undermines the effect of the energy flow that yoga practice provides. Proponents of yogic fasting also assert that fasting increases flexibility. Native American cultures have also been closely connected to nature and their bodies. They recognize the benefits of fasting and would include the practice in many of their sacred rituals and rites of passage. Fasting was also an important element in the vision quest. This ritual involved a solitary time in the wilderness, or, in some cases, a heated hut or sweat lodge, where the person would fast to achieve a clear mind. The goal was to experience dreams or visions that suggested a solution to a problem or a certain direction to follow. In some cases, the vision was understood to be a message from a deity. Nowadays, vision quests are not limited to Native American cultures, but are available to mainstream people who are searching for something outside of their own modern experience. It's possible to find businesses who will set up a vision quest for any interested party. Fasting has also been known to be an instrument for passive resistance and political protest, as in hunger strikes. One of the most well-known people to fast for political purposes was Mahatma Gandhi, who repeatedly went on hunger strikes to protest the oppression of India's poorest classes and Great Britain's dominance over India. The hoped-for result was to get public sympathy behind him and pressure the government to make changes in policy. On one fast, Gandhi fasted for a total of 21 days, drinking only water. There have been other fasting protests in different parts of the world as well. During the suffragette movement in Great Britain, for instance, many women went on hunger strikes to draw attention to their crusade to allow women to vote. The government was not sympathetic, however, and the public was scandalized when some of the more influential women were imprisoned and force-fed in rather violent ways. Over the centuries, there have clearly been both light sides and dark sides to fasting practices. In some cases, people have died because their enthusiasm for fasting overpowered their common sense. A woman named Dr. Linda Hazard even used a fasting clinic as a venue for starving patients into health, but a dozen of them didn't survive the treatment. Dr. Hazard was ultimately tried for murder. Fortunately, cases like these are rare, but they emphasize the fact that there needs to be a sufficient amount of knowledge about the subject if one is to undertake fasting in any form. Common myths about fasting. It's virtually impossible to show an interest in any diet or health program without becoming the recipient of other people's takes on the topic. If you're lucky, everyone you talk to will be a supporter and cheer you on throughout your journey. But if your circle of friends and acquaintances includes a skeptic or two, you're also likely to hear about some of the myths that are linked to fasting. People tend to believe and repeat what they hear over and over again, so these myths have a tendency to never go away. So, is a myth an outright lie, or is it a half-truth? It depends. In some cases, there is some sort of evidence that campaigners will claim proves the statement. But by taking these myths one by one and looking into the actual science, we can debunk the myths and follow human reason. Myth number one, fasting is a form of starvation. This is true only in the sense that you do feel hungry, at first. Often, you feel very, very hungry, and many people would say, I'm starving. But technically, starvation means that you don't have sufficient food, and you don't see any prospects for food in the future. In other words, starvation is the restriction of calories without a choice. When you are fasting, you choose to restrict your calories for a specific period of time, and you know that there is an end to the fast and there will be food. Some people are concerned that going on a fast will signal your body to move into starvation mode and shut down your metabolism so that you won't be burning the same number of calories. This is your body's defense against starvation when it recognizes that the number of calories being consumed has altered drastically. This does happen, but it happens when you cut down your calorie intake on any diet, not just IF. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. Actually, there is evidence that shows that fasting for short periods, up to 48 hours, can actually speed up your metabolism because of an increase in hormones that break down body fat. However, fasting for longer than 48 hours can slow down the metabolism. So it seems to be all about timing. The bottom line here is that anyone can go too far with a fast, so that it has the potential to become a form of starvation. Gandhi and the Buddha are historical examples of this, and they came pretty close to dying. Examples like these are likely to have started this particular myth in the first place, but they are too extreme to be considered a viable reason for this myth to be taken at face value. Myth number two. It's a good idea to eat frequent small meals throughout the day to regulate your metabolism and control hunger. While it's true that your body does need some energy to digest food and carry all the nutrients to their proper places, it really depends on the total number of calories you consume during the day, not how many meals you eat. You will burn about 10% of your total calorie consumption on digesting the food. The studies on eating habits of individuals concluded that it didn't matter how often they ate or how many meals they had. The results were the same for the people who ate several meals and those who ate fewer meals with the same number of calories. Another reason that some people make the claim that it's better to eat several small meals through the day is the question of how the body uses protein. Proponents of frequent meals insist that the body needs to have protein every 2 or 3 hours to support the development of muscles. Scientific studies, however, don't support this claim. What matters is how much protein you have altogether, not per meal. Do frequent small meals help stave off hunger pains? Studies on this question have come up yes, no, and maybe. This seems to be a question that depends on the varying physical and psychological traits that all humans possess. Myth number three. Fasting deprives your brain of the glucose it needs to function. Yes, the brain uses glucose, but it has other options if the glucose isn't immediately available. If you're not eating enough food to produce glucose, your body goes into defense mode and turns to the stored glycogen in the liver. If food is restricted for longer periods, as it is in fasting, the body turns to the ketone bodies that are produced when fatty acids are burned. Ketone bodies are a great source of fuel for the brain, but some people report having headaches during the early stages of fasting that seem to be related to the presence of ketone bodies. These headaches can be alleviated by drinking plenty of fluids. Myth number four. You lose muscle when you fast. This is mostly true, but it really depends on what type of fasting you're talking about. If you fast for an extended amount of time, a month or more, for example, your body will run out of fuel sources and start to seek out muscle. But this would be an act of desperation. Recent studies indicate that consuming muscle is a last resort, and it will only be consumed as fuel when the body has burned through its stores of glycogen, then fat, then ketone bodies. When it does turn to protein, it will be unnecessary protein, such as skin tags, before it actually begins to metabolize muscle. Intermittent fasting up to 3 or 4 days in duration is perfectly safe for everyone who is in good health, according to Dr. Jason Fung, creator of the 5-2 intermittent fast. In fact, a study where participants consumed all their calories in one meal showed that their muscle mass actually increased. That's most likely due to the fact that intermittent fasting causes an increase in growth hormones. Whatever weight loss method you follow, you can reduce the chances of muscle loss by making sure you are getting sufficient protein when you are eating, and to include a weight-based exercise program in your routine. Myth number five, intermittent fasting is harmful to your health. Some people believe that fasting deprives your body of vital nutrients you need to keep you healthy. Again, this can be true if you take it too far. But there is plenty of anecdotal evidence and a fair number of scientific studies that show that intermittent fasting actually provides a number of benefits for your health. These benefits include protection against some diseases, greater longevity of life, reduced inflammation, and improved brain function. More on benefits in the next section. Myth number six. Intermittent fasting will actually make you gain weight because you'll get so hungry that you will overeat when you're not fasting. This is another half-truth. But again, it depends on individual behavior. For most people, resuming a normal diet with perhaps a few extra calories will not undo the good you did while fasting. However, if you overcompensate for the meals you missed, of course you will be consuming too many calories for weight loss. As long as you have the proper mindset, you will realize that your hunger can be controlled with moderate amounts of nutritious food. In addition, personal experience of many people on a fasting regimen has shown that appetite actually tends to diminish as the fasting continues. As long as the non-fasting calories stay below the calories missed while fasting, you will lose weight. Benefits of fasting. Unless you have an illness, any type of weight loss is going to affect your body and your health in a positive way. So what makes fasting different? It's the way your body responds. Because of your body's natural defense mechanisms to a lack of nourishment, it will adapt to the situation by producing enzymes and hormones that provide a range of benefits. This doesn't happen if you are just cutting down on calories, fats, or carbs. Some people actually choose to fast as a lifestyle, even if they don't have any weight to lose. Fasting can benefit your entire quality of life in the following ways. Fasting will help you take the weight off and keep it off. The reason for the weight loss is pretty straightforward. In eating fewer meals, you're consuming fewer total calories. As long as you don't overcompensate when you're not fasting, fewer calories translates to more pounds lost. As a bonus, hormonal changes as your body adapts to fasting will enhance your metabolic function to burn calories more efficiently and contribute to the weight loss. Some of that weight loss is in the abdominal area, the harmful belly fat that can lead to disease and other health problems. In most cases, you don't even need to count calories. When you are in the habit of regularly eating 3 meals a day, and sometimes more, the food is converted to glucose for energy. It takes about 10 to 12 hours for the body to use up a single supply of glucose from one meal. As long as you are providing a constant supply of fuel, there will be no need for the body to turn to its own fat stores to get energy. In studies comparing obese individuals on an intermittent fasting regimen with others on a traditional diet plan, both groups were able to successfully achieve a lower body mass index, or BMI, but the IF group showed a reduced tendency to put weight back on after a period of 1 year. Fasting will allow your digestive system to rest, repair, and revitalize. This seems pretty obvious. If you don't have food coming in all the time, you don't need to digest anything. The digestive organs don't just stand by, though. There are still processes going on in the body to eliminate toxins and waste from the body. Fasting can allow you to enjoy a longer, more robust lifespan. It may not be the fountain of youth, but there have been some studies that indicate that fasting can actually slow down the aging process, as well as help fight off age-related disease. Apparently, going without food for more than a normal length of time causes your body to respond at a cellular level to what it perceives as a situation of stress. Once a stressful situation is identified, the cells make adaptations to deal with it. As a result, your body is not only able to cope better with the stress of fewer energy-giving calories, but it also has the ability to deal with other stressors, such as disease. According to an article in the journal Gerontology, Animal studies have shown that rats that are given alternate day fasting schedules have lived as much as 83% longer than rats on a traditional diet. They have also demonstrated a lower incidence of cancers and age-related disorders, such as coronary artery disease, stroke, and Alzheimer's. As more human studies are completed, intermittent fasting could well become the go-to strategy for optimum health and a better life. Intermittent fasting may help reduce the risk for developing diabetes. As the incidence of overweight and obesity grows, so does the rate of type 2 diabetes. The number of people diagnosed with prediabetes has reached alarming levels. Prediabetes is a wake-up call to lose weight and start living a healthy lifestyle so that you don't become another diabetes 2 statistic. There are two terms to consider here: insulin sensitivity, which is good, and insulin resistance, which is not good. When you are insulin resistant, your pancreas is not producing enough insulin to keep your blood sugar levels under control. When your blood sugar is too high, you may be headed for type 2 diabetes, if you're not already there. Losing weight will increase your insulin sensitivity, helping to keep your blood sugar at an acceptable level. Intermittent fasting has been shown to lower insulin resistance so that the blood sugar level drops down as much as 3 to 6% and insulin levels decrease by as much as 20 to 31%. This is according to an article on ScienceDirect.com. One of the most serious complications of diabetes is kidney damage. A study on rats showed that they were protected from this condition during intermittent fasting, and their risk of hypertension was lowered. There is more research to be done before we can say for certain that intermittent fasting can provide these benefits to every individual. Some results seem to contradict others. For example, women may not experience the same blood sugar reduction as men. One study showed that a period of 22 days of intermittent fasting actually showed unfavorable blood sugar results in women. This is just more evidence that every type of protocol needs to be adopted with a high degree of caution and an eye for individual responses. Intermittent fasting may lead to a lower risk of cardiovascular disease. According to the CDC, heart disease is the leading cause of death for men and women. Lifestyle habits such as smoking, excess alcohol, and sedentary behaviors all contribute to heart disease risk, and changing these habits can affect your risk dramatically. But intermittent fasting is another factor that can help reduce risk. Studies show that many of the benefits of intermittent fasting, lowered blood pressure, blood sugar levels, insulin levels, LDL, and total cholesterol, inflammation, and triglycerides, are the very factors that support cardiovascular health. Intermittent fasting triggers a reboot of the hormones and genes in your body. We know that the process of consuming any type of calories, healthy or unhealthy, sets off a chain of events to digest and assimilate the nutrients. But restricting the calories does not mean that the body is just going to rest and do nothing. The digestive organs may get a rest, but the tiny machines that run your metabolism become very active. When you fast, your pancreas can take a break from producing insulin, but your pituitary gland sends out an extra supply of human growth hormone, or HGH. Even though you technically stopped growing once you reached adulthood, HGH is still vital for cell regeneration. When it's produced at higher levels, your body burns more fat while slightly increasing muscle mass. Fasting also initiates changes in gene expression, the code that tells your cells what their function will be. Some of these changes affect disease prevention and longevity, as discussed earlier. In addition, according to The Scientist magazine, a recent study of fasting rats showed that the change in gene expression improved their ability to learn, and their brains were more like those of their younger counterparts. Intermittent fasting helps in the process of cell repair. Our bodies have a natural defense against aging or damaged cells. It eats them. This process is called autophagy, which derives from the Greek terms for self and eat. It's a way the body has to recycle or eliminate waste matter and allow cells to repair themselves. For obvious reasons, it's a process that must stay under strict control. But when fasting reduces the levels of vital nutrients, including glucose, your body senses a need for more food, and autophagy is initiated. This speeds up the process of clearing the body of broken-down proteins that tend to build up within cells over time. Removing these dysfunctional proteins is believed to protect against diseases such as cancer and Alzheimer's. Intermittent fasting can lead to a reduction in inflammation and oxidative stress in the body and strengthen your immune system. Over the past few decades, researchers have become aware of a class of molecules known as free radicals and the harmful effects they have on our bodies when they are out of control. Free radicals are molecules that are unstable and attack other molecules, including DNA, proteins, and enzymes, causing damage. On the plus side, some of this damage produces toxins that our immune systems can use to fight infection. Inflammation is a normal part of these defenses, but it's a sign that the body is trying to heal itself. However, when there is an overproduction of free radicals, it can create unnecessary and undesirable inflammatory responses, which can lead to a long list of harmful effects, such as cancer, heart disease, cerebrovascular disease, stroke, emphysema, rheumatoid arthritis, ulcers, cataracts, dementia, osteoporosis, premature aging of the skin, muscle stiffness, and more. Our bodies produce free radicals because of a number of internal and external factors. They are a byproduct of the many metabolic functions of our cells. So when we digest food, exercise, experience stress, spend time in the sun, or expose ourselves to environmental pollutants, we produce free radicals. Smokers and drinkers get an extra dose of these potential bad guys. The instability of free radicals is because they are essentially incomplete molecules. They lack an electron. This is a result of the process of oxidation, the same process that turns an apple brown when it's exposed to oxygen. When free radicals are overproduced, it leads to oxidative stress. Several studies have concluded that intermittent fasting can also boost metabolic defenses against oxidative stress. But sometimes they need a boost by supplying them with antioxidant foods. So it's good to add those to your food plan on non-fasting days. IF also helps revitalize your immune system by activating stem cells. These are the cells that can technically become any kind of cell that the body is in need of. It also restricts the activity of a gene called PKA. This is the gene that generates an enzyme that inhibits the regeneration of cells. So restricting its activity allows your body to go about its business of repairing cells. Intermittent fasting has benefits for your brain. So far, we have shown that intermittent fasting can lead to a reduction of oxidative stress, a lower rate of inflammation, reduced blood sugar levels, and lowered insulin resistance, all very beneficial for the body. But these same results are also important for the development and preservation of a healthy brain. As studies continue, more evidence is discovered that the process of autophagy creates pathways to establish new neurons and build synapses between them. This process is complemented by BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is a protein in the brain that impacts function of both the brain and the peripheral nervous system. Fasting initiates an increase in BDNF, which supports existing brain cells while generating the growth of new neurons and synapses. In animal studies, a low level of BDNF is associated with depression, loss of memory, and diminished cognitive ability. For example, one study of BDNF-deficient rats showed that they had more trouble finding their way through a maze than their counterparts in the control group, or even remembering where to find food. While most of the organs have a reduction in size with a restricted calorie diet, animal studies show that the brain size is not affected. This seems to point to an evolutionary trait that our ancestors developed as a defense against starvation. When food was scarce, they needed to have more brain power to seek out food while avoiding predators, so their brains received nutrients while other organs may have been deprived. There is also some evidence that intermittent fasting enables the brain to repair itself from injury and disease, including damage from stroke. Moreover, in animal studies of cervical spine injury, rats who were fasting alternate days were able to regain movement and function that depend on proper brain function. One of the most annoying effects of aging is cognitive decline, loss of memory, difficulty processing information and making decisions, problems with concentration, struggle to communicate, brain fog, etc.